If you have your Bibles, we're going to open it up to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 25. We begin at verse 1. I want to thank God for this ability to bring forth His Word. Under the leadership of our very own senior pastor, Dennis Gardner, and first pastor, first lady, Martina Gardner. I'm so glad I'm in the fold of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Where we would be without the Lord on our side. Yes. So you have your Bible open to the 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to begin at verse 1. Then we'll read on down to verse 12. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't have it, then it's up on the screen. And then also, you don't have it, it's on page 484. And Samuel died, and all Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house of Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing the sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, "Get up, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be upon all thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers, now thy shepherds, which were with us. We hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servant and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, and they spake to Nabal, according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servant, and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master." As the title of the message is A Call to Action. A call to action. You may be seated. Amen. Time to be action. Put some leg work. Put some feet to your action. I was pondering what the title of this message is going to be. And then I happened to look like at restaurants and like grocery stores. They have advertisements all on their windows telling you what's in their stores that you can purchase.
Uh-huh.
That's a call to action.
All right.
We're going to talk about three people today. The first name is Nabal. His name means fool. Foolish. Evil. Mean-spirited. Rude. Ignorant. Wicked. Stupidity. Worthless. I can go on and on and on. But he had great possessions. He was a wealthy man. He was rich. He had houses, lands, vineyards, all types of animals and livestock, farm. He had vineyards. And I looked up that word vineyard because I see it often in the Bible. I say, what's a vineyard? Where the vines and the grapes, where they make their wine.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And he was married to Abigail. She was beautiful. She was humble. She was compassionate. Intelligent. Oh, Lord, why she married that man? Total opposite of the stick. But he probably didn't get that way until he became wealthy. He became rich. His whole attitude just changed. Uh-huh. And he was out in the field shearing his sheep. It was sheep shearing time. That means a time of celebration. Because they're getting ready to get some money. They finna shear them, that wool right off them sheep. And I looked at the video about how they shear sheep. I was like, what did I look at this for? and the sheep just be right there, just standing still while they cutting that wool, shearing that wool off. We finna go to the sheepology school. Sheepology. I was like, they have small legs. They got beady eyeballs. They have a small brain. They are a follower in need of a shepherd. There's nothing attractive about them. Nothing glamorous about them. They smell, they look dirty. But they need a shepherd to watch over them, to lead them, to guide them, to direct them, just like we do. We are his sheep. We talking about Jesus Christ. He is the great shepherd.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Holy Ghost is here to lead us and guide us and teach us and to bring us into all truth. But David heard that Nabal was in shearing his sheep. And he sent his 10 young men to him. And he asked them, and he instructed them, could you go ask him for some food and some drink? Because we watch and we protected your property, your men, your shearers. We protected them. We was a wall around them. We was a wall around your flock. We didn't let no harm come to them. We watched over your servants, your family, that herd. We didn't allow any intruders, no robbers, no thief, no raiders to come and mess with your stuff. And your belongings, we was there. We was watching and protecting, just like the great shepherd does. He watches us. And he protects us.
Yes.
Sometimes unbeknownst to us. Like a lot of times, you know, I'll say, oh man, I went the wrong way. Man. Yep. Yep. Come to find out it was a deadly accident.
Come on now.
He was blocking.
Come on, Holy Ghost.
He led me in a different way. I feel sorry for the family and the person that passed, and I always pray, I hope they came to know you before they leave this earth. Did somebody lead them to Christ? Did somebody witness to them? Did they invite Jesus into their heart? I heard a story a couple weeks ago. This pastor, he was on South... I didn't know he was a pastor. It was on the news. So I watched him and his wife, they were leaving their church. It was Southfield and Evergreen or Greenfield. And he said he got off the wrong exit. He passed the exit. Then he told his wife, he said, man, I passed the exit. So he went back around. He got off the next exit and went back around. And then he said, he noticed something. He looked. He saw this young man, 20 years old, putting his leg over the bridge, getting ready to jump. He's getting ready to end his life. And when he went back around, he told the wife, we got to stop. We got to stop. So when he stopped, And then another man saw too, the man come from this direction and the pastor come from that direction. I thought it was pastor. Jesus. Because you know he's the same shape and I'm sorry, in your head shape and everything. the hat on the head, and he was walking like him. I was like, oh, I saw the backside of him. But I know I ain't see past the first age, so wrong wife. But anyway, so this other man stopped and he grabbed that guy's attention to focus on him while the pastor came from behind him and did a football tackle and got him. And he was on the ground. Let me go. I want to end my life. Because there's nothing here for me on this earth. And the pastor's wife, she got on the phone and called the police. But she filmed it. That's how I was able to see it. But she put it on, they put it on the news. And they say it was a divine intervention from God. Yeah. So we just don't never know. Yeah. Yeah. But he told them to ask for something, to give us something to eat. We are very parched. We're a little hungry. That's all we want. You know, nothing of your flock was lost. Nothing was killed. Nothing was taken. Nothing was destroyed under our watch. Whatever you give us, we'll be satisfied. And boy, Nabal's response to David's request was ridiculous. I said his name was meant fool and foolish. He responded to David's request consistent with his name. He rejected it. He refused it. He snubbed at David's request and said to the man, "Be gone. Get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hear it. Get out of here. Boy, back. You ain't nothing but some slaves. I don't know where you come from. You must have ran away from your master. And your leader, he's a renegade. Go somewhere. Get out of here. I ain't giving you nothing. Do you think I'm going to give you what I made, my bread, my water, my meat to y'all? Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? Go away." So the young men left and they ran back and they told David what this fool said. They delivered the message to David. He said, "He gave us nothing. He called you a renegade thief. And he called us a bunch of slaves. And he ain't giving us nothing." Boy, was that the wrong response to give to David. He don't know who David was. He done forgot. He done drunk too much wine in his vineyard. Right. He don't know David was a king. He was God's apple of his eye. David was a warrior. He was a poet. He was a worshiper. He was a praiser. He was a shepherd. He was a mighty leader. He was a singer. He was a musician. How dare he talk to him that way? And I help you out? Don't that sound like something somebody do to you in your life? You to help them out, you by their side, and they snub you when you need some help? I got mine. You gonna get yours now. Wouldn't that make you angry? Don't tell me y'all all spiritual. I'll be like, "What? Really? Wow." Immediately David got angry. He was like, "Whoa, wow, really? Hold up, wait a minute. Let's load up. Come on, we finna roll out. Get your swords on. Cause we finna kill everything that pisses against the wall." I don't know what he thought. I'm not putting up with his foolish behind. Come on, I'm gonna kill everything and everybody in that household. I don't care if Well, Sister Jerry gonna kill me. I remember I used to say this scripture to her a long time ago, sidebar. About 20 years ago. I said, Sister Jerry, guess what I just read in the Bible? He said he's gonna kill everything that pisses against the wall. She was like, ooh, you be saying that? I said, but it's in the Bible. Well, that's not nice. I said, but he said it. You can read it right here. I had to bring my Bible and show her. He said he's gonna kill everything. He's gonna piss him against the wall. You raise your leg up at the fire hydrant, you gonna get killed. If you go, but you're in the toilet, you gonna get killed. If there's a hole in the ground, you gonna get killed. I don't care how you gonna use the bathroom, you gonna get killed. Let's go kill him. I'm gonna kill the donkey. I'm gonna kill those sheep, the goats, the horses, the cattle, the dogs, the cats, the cows, and anybody else who's gonna get in my way. By morning, by daybreak, he got angry. He got up in his flesh. He didn't ask God about nothing. You know, David always asked God, am I going to fight in this war today? What you want me to do in this battle? Do you want me to go? Uh-huh. Send me, I'll do it. But he got up all in his flesh like we do. Gonna punch somebody's lights out. What you mean? Ooh, boy. I love the word of God, don't you? Yeah. He said, I don't know what he thought. He said, well, come on, let's go. Let's get on our donkeys and we finna go. We finna roll out. But one of Nabal's servants overheard what David was going to do, what he was coming to do. So he gonna run to Miss Abigail. Ma'am, David and his bros are coming. They finna kill us all. And you too. They finna kill this whole household. Verse 14, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. He went off on them. He yelled at them. He told them off. And then he going to testify right here. Verse 15, say, but the men were very good to us. We were not hurt, nor did we miss anything. As long as we was conserving with them while we were in the field. They were a wall up to us. They protected us both night and day, all the while we were out there keeping the sheep. So David determined to do this unto Nabal and you too. So she got that call to action. She took matters in her own hands. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste. She was in a hurry. She got up. She took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 custards of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. She said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I'll come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal. So she made a call to action. She's going to intervene. She's going to intercept. She's going to go meet David, who is coming to destroy everything that belongs to Nabal, his possessions, because of his evil ways. And the way he responded to David. She intercepts him. David, along the way, it was a hidden mountain. How they know they was going to come meet each other coming down that mountain? He come in one direction and she come in the next. She said, "Sir, sir," she falls down and bows down before him, asking for forgiveness for her foolish husband. I heard what he said to y'all. I heard how he did y'all wrong. You did good, but he meant evil towards you all. So she gave him the food and the drink and all this. Please, please, take this. He should have gave it to you in the first place. Please accept this offering. Give it to those men out there, your servants. One thing about her, she didn't become perplexed. She didn't become baffled. She wasn't puzzled or confused. She wasn't thrown off her balance. She was not distracted. Like sometimes situations in your life might set you back sometimes. But stay focused. It may be an obstacle in your way. But stay focused. There may be hurdles that you have to leap over and jump over. But stay focused. She stayed focused. Life oftentimes will send you some negative things. But stay focused. Obstacles that you did not expect. Stay focused. But you have to keep your mind clear and your heart clean. Before God. See, I know what I like about Abigail was because I bet you while she was on that donkey going down to meet David, she thanking God. I praise you for the answer. I praise you for your intervention. I'm giving you glory. I'm honoring you. Lord, I thank you right now for the blessing, how you gonna bless me in spite of my foolish husband. She kept her mind clear. She kept her heart clean. What the enemy meant for evil, the Lord will make good out of it. We have to give it over to the Lord. We can't be bitter of what happens to us in our life. Because life gonna throw you some curveballs. Unforeseen events may happen in your life. Circumstances, unexplainable problems. Unfortunate situations. And unbelievable issues. But don't let it make you bitter. Don't be a sourpuss while you're going through. God's going to bless you. We just got to keep on holding on to his unchanging hand. A lot of people they blame everything on God or because you're going through, or they'll blame everything on everybody else and they be mad and get away from me. Just like that fool neighbor. But she wasn't bitter. She didn't get upset. She didn't get an attitude. She didn't get angry. She made a call to action. It's time for us to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. A very present help in time of trouble. A 1,000 may fall on this side, and 10,000 may be fall on that side. But you keep on holding on. You keep on looking up. You keep on praising him. You keep on worshiping him. You keep blessing his name. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Look up. If God be for me, who can be against me? I refuse to be confused with God on my side. I refuse to be perplexed with God on my side. I know it's not always easy. I know we get mad sometimes and we don't understand things, you know, but we give it over to God. I learned to pray to everything now. I said, I know you got me, Lord. You know my situation. You know everything about me and everything about this body. You know all about it. You know what's going on in my family life. You know what's going on in our job situation, school situation, just life, period. Don't lose your focus. I was thinking about when you go to the eye doctor or the, what's the optometrist or a or whatever you, yeah, that person. Then they check your eyes. Everything be blurry. They be like, like that. And they keep on until you get focused and everything becomes clear. You may have 20/20 vision, 20/40, 30/40. But everything becomes clear. We have to have a clear mind. Whose mind is stayed on thee shall have what? Perfect peace. Don't become bitter. Stay with God. I can handle this situation in my mind, in my heart, in my soul. Hold on and look up. For your redemption draws nigh. Make up your mind not to give up. Make up your mind not to give in. Because the Lord is on your side.
Yeah.
He will give you the victory.
Yes, he will.
Yes. Abigail acted quickly.
Yes, she did.
She didn't waste any time. She took action. She didn't go try to get a majority vote. Yes. She didn't go to Congress, the Senate, or the House to see what she going to do. She didn't ask her maidservant, oh, what should we do? She took matters in her hand. She got with the Lord. She didn't consult with nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, that's our problem sometimes. We get on Facebook.
Come
what
on.
Should I do?
Come on.
Get on Twitter.
Come on.
Oh, look what happened to me.
Come on.
We take Snapchat pictures. We Google search everything. Trying to find out what's wrong with me. Go to the doctor. God gave them the wisdom to tell you what to do. I know we don't, sometimes we don't like going on doctors. I'm for one. I ain't waiting in there on no hour or two. Waiting on no doctor. You won't see me within a half an hour. I'm gone. Now my life is precious. I'm waiting on you. Let me stop. I'm acting a fool today. Lord, forgive me. But she didn't discuss it with nobody. Sometimes you got to do this thing by yourself. Like I tell, when my testimony, I always said, I didn't tell nobody I had cancer. Nobody for 5 months. Of course, everybody was mad at me. I was like, wait a minute, this is my life. I'm suffering this, you know. I put my hands totally and completely into God's hands.
Amen.
I had to deal with myself first on this issue. I had to consult with him and talk with him. I put my faith in him. I said, whether I live or die, I'm in your hands, God. I got my faith in you. I trust you. T-R-U-S-T. Totally relying on the King.
Yes.
Yeah, save the King. But she didn't discuss it with nobody. She didn't waste time. She didn't bellyache. She didn't cry. She didn't whine.
Yeah.
She didn't have no old me, woe is me campaign. She didn't do none of that. What she did was she mounted up on wings like an eagle.
Ah, better tell it.
She wasn't discouraged, depressed, or stressed out about it. She lost no time saying, when I'm going to get out of this? And when I do get out of this, I'm going to have joy, unspeakable joy. When I get out of this, I'm going to have peace like a river. When I come out of this, I'm going to be stronger than before.
Yeah.
Then when I went in, but when I come out, I'm going to be strong. Because the Lord is on my side. She said, man, God, receive this from me. You don't want to go do what you think you're going to do. You taking vengeance upon yourself. Didn't the word of God say, vengeance is mine, so saith the Lord, I will repay? See, he was all up in his flesh. His own mindset. He was going to kill everything and everybody. She said, no, man of God, don't do that. You are the king. You are to lead us. You are our shepherd. God's going to continue. How can he use you in that mindset?
Come on now.
You don't want to kill that fool. Because he's not worth it. God got something better in store for your life.
Yes.
She was in a city. She said, God will repay. He'll get them. But don't mess your life up. I know a lot of people in prisons or in jails thinking about what they should have done or how they could have prevented what they done. As my father used to tell us, that jailhouse mentality. I wish I should have, could have, would have. Didn't think. Didn't have nobody to intervene, tell him not to do that. That's not right. But she was used by God for that great intervention. And the great thing about it, you know, a lot of women, I hear it all the time. No, I would say, my husband don't listen to me. My boyfriend don't listen to me. He listened to her. He listened with the ears of God. He listened to her. He said, your request has been granted. I'm not going to do it what I was going to do. I thank God that you came on along this road to stop me from doing what I was going to do. I was going to avenge myself and feel good about it.
Yeah.
And he listened to her. And he took the stuff. And he went on his merry way. He said, now you go back home in peace. Just go back home. Don't worry about it. God's got you. She went back home. And that foolish husband of hers having a party. He got drunk. He was very, very drunk. And she didn't tell him anything that went on. But the next morning, when she told him what went on, what they was planning was going to do, and how God intervened on behalf of her, not because of you.
Tell it.
He was like, his heart became stone. He was like, wow, I can't believe this. He was going to kill all of us because of my foolish ways, because I didn't think. Because you know, they all heard about David. Because she even said it in her testimony if you read the whole chapter. That's what she called him, the man of God. You're going to be king. So, you know, no, don't do that. He felt stupid. He felt low. And when he told that, in 10 days later, God smote him. That means he killed him. He allowed him to die. God don't play. We're losing so many souls without the Savior.
Come on now.
I was talking to Brother Andy this morning. What are we doing as a church? When I talk to them too, as a whole, to bring others to Christ. We're going to continue to let them be fools out there in the world? And they're going to be lost without a Savior? Are we going to bring them into repentance? Are we going to pray with them? Are we going to invite them to have Christ in their life? Are we going to be that interceptor? Are we going to intervene? Are we going to tell them about the love of Christ? He may have had a heart attack and died. But I hope she prayed with him. Because you're going to meet Jesus one day. Everybody looking for signs? And wonders. And wonders, yes. They looking for everything. But are we looking to Jesus for everything? That's the question of the day. What are we doing? What are we doing? We got to tell them. We got to start with kids. Tell them right from wrong. To live this life according to the word of God. Amen. It's a call to action. I know that's one of my biggest burdens. I don't want no one to die, to leave this world while having Christ in their life. Amen. No matter what sin they committed, we commit sins too.
Amen.
We're not exempt.
Amen.
It's because we're sitting here. God looking at what you're doing outside these four walls.
Come on now. Come on now.
How you live your life. Outside these four walls.
Amen.
You can fool us, but you cannot fool God.
Amen.
Too many souls are leaving.
Yeah.
I mean, mass shootings are everywhere. You look at a person wrong, they're going to kill you. You say anything, they'll kill you. Are you ready? You may be in a car accident. Are you ready? That's something we have to think about. I think about that all the time. I examine myself all the time. Because if I don't call you later on, I always call. I'm making sure I'm trying to get this thing right. If I said anything wrong, let me know. It says, the Bible says you got all against your brother. Go to him.
Make it right.
That's right. Straighten it up. Make your heart clean. Because we all going to stand before the righteous judge. Everyone stand up. Everybody join hands. Cross the aisle. You know what I'm gonna have? I'll send your pastor to pray for us. If you know you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, make it right. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Repent means to change your ways, your mindset.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray this morning, this afternoon, that you will touch us in our minds, in our spirits. Father, that we might have a spirit of forgiveness, Lord God, not just for ourselves, but for those that we may have offended. Father, let us make things right, Father, in case of tragedy, in case of trial or tribulation. But Father, in the name of Jesus, let the love of Christ which gives us the strength that conquers the multitude of sins.
Yes.
Lord God, let it move by your spirit. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, let us set an example, Lord God. Lord God, not of proudness, Lord God, or rudeness, but Father, but of love and peace and mercy, kindness, Lord God, and humility. Father, let us move throughout this earth, Lord God, which we are just visiting, Lord God. We're just passing through. Lord God, let us leave them something that might encourage and strengthen, uplift, and fortify them. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the word become a reality, not because we speak it, Father, but because we live it. Lord God, use us for the glory of the living God. Father, you have your way in our lives. Lord God, as we forgive others, that they might forgive us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray right now that the glory of your will and desire of your strength might move upon the face of the deep. Lord God, touching hearts, touching minds, touching spirits, those that are lost, those that may be lost. Father, bringing into a spirit of forgiveness, a repentance, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, those that want to give their hearts and lives unto you, Lord God, it's not going to be by man's spirit, but it's going to be by your spirit, Lord God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, by your glorious and your Holy Spirit, move upon this earth, move upon this people, Lord God, bringing them to a place of repentance, Lord God, and delivering them of that, Lord God, which keeps them separated from you. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory for it. Glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Give the Lord some praise today. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Before you see it, we're going to have another call to action. It's offering time.